You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We have made it to the weekend, or as close as you can possibly make it. For many of you, probably the weekend is underway. Thanks for being here on a Friday. Yes, we've already said that. Let's get to it. A lot happening, a lot of news out there, a lot of guests to get in. We'll talk to Brat a little bit later on. We haven't heard from him. He's got a prediction on some of your favorite teams, including where Alabama is going to end up. But we have guests waiting, and we will get to all of them immediately. Top of the show is Blake Topmeyer from the USA Today Network, writing about where we are in college football, the new proposal, and are we going to make that jump. Blake, thanks for the time. As always, we begin the Friday afternoon talking about the future of the college football playoff. That has been the theme of the week. Good afternoon. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's interesting, Paul. We went through many, many years of trying to figure out what the future format of the college football playoff would be, negotiating and debating on all sides. And finally, the agreement was struck to have this 12-team college football playoff, and now how many years are we going to have it for, right? Maybe just 2 years until the end of this current contract. This was, I think, really predictable as conference commissioners try to put their thumb on the scale, try to earn more revenue and access for their leagues, in particular talking about the SEC and the Big Ten. I mean, I, like I said, I really felt like it was probably the most predictable thing in the world that before the 12-team playoff even arrives, the so-called Power Two are trying to find ways in which they can get even more access, even more revenue out of the college football playoff. And we've seen this before, right? Greg Sankey is the most influential commissioner in college sports, maybe the most influential figure in college sports. And during the last round of playoff negotiations, Sankey made it very clear he did not want an 8-team college football playoff. He wanted to stick at 4 or go to 12. He got his way. He got 12. Then whenever the Pac-12 crumbled, Sankey went on your show very early and said, what are we going to do with the Pac-12's bid? It was obvious he wanted to reduce the number of automatic qualifiers. He got his way again. He usually does. And so my question is, what does Greg Sankey want? Because whatever he wants, he's probably going to get in this next playoff format.
You know, it's interesting, Blake, because you are trying to do some linkage, as many others are, to what we saw in Dallas this week with Greg Sankey and the Big Ten joining hands. Sankey this afternoon was in Columbia, South Carolina, meeting with the trustees there, and he talked about the relationship with the Big Ten as really doing more than anything, trying to shrink the room, meaning you have fewer people trying to make the big ticket item decisions. I understand what he was referring to today dealt more with legal issues down the road, but I want to expand a little bit to what you just said. What and how does the Big Ten and the SEC benefit by what they were talking about in Dallas this week? Other than, is it just the money or is it the access?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, and I don't disagree with Greg Sankey and what he's saying about some of those big ticket issues. I think, you know, this is an opportunity for those two conferences to kind of chew gum and walk, right? Like they can try to tackle some of these big ticket issues that we're talking about, some of the ongoing antitrust situations, the college athlete employment model, what's that going to look like? You know, that's all happening over on one hand, but I don't for a second believe that the SEC and the Big Ten are not also going to be looking out for themselves when it comes to playoff access, when it comes to playoff revenues. You know, you go back to every step of this process, Greg Sankey has looked out for the SEC. That's what he's employed to do. I'm not criticizing him for that. He's very, very effective at it, and he's very good at using the leverage he has to get what he wants. If we think back 2 years ago, Sankey, I think very cleverly, floated the idea of the SEC just conducting its own playoff. He spoke about that at SEC spring meetings in 2022. That was before the 12-team playoff model had been approved, and there was still talk of an eight-team playoff. I think that sent the message that if the SEC didn't get what it wanted, it was willing to take its toys and go play in its own sandbox. Now, I don't think that's what Greg Sankey really wanted. I don't think that's what the SEC wants. But again, he's very, very good at asserting his power and his leverage and his influence to carve out systems that are great for his conference. So what would be even better than this 5+7 format for the SEC? I think the talk of going to 14 teams, two additional bids. That's two additional bids that are probably up for grabs for the SEC or the Big Ten. And I think we all know that if it goes to 14 teams, that's probably just an interim stopgap before it goes to 16 teams. But I said all along, Paul, I don't totally buy this idea that's been floated by some that the SEC and the Big Ten want to completely break off and stage their own playoff. I don't think they really want to do that. And I don't know that they need to do that, because they're going to be able to put their thumb on the scales, I think, to the degree to which they're going to get the access and the revenue distribution to keep them satisfied, to remain in the CFP system, but it's going to tilt so heavily toward the SEC and the Big Ten's favor, it's almost going to be like they have their own playoff, but they don't have to fully break away to do it.
Blake, let's talk about the other leagues for a second, because the Pac-12 is gone, and you know, that president of Florida at Washington State, Schultz, you know, continues to run his mouth, but he got a sock stuck in it this week by most accounts at the CFP meetings. But, you know, you got Yormark, who's pretty well respected from his background. I mean, the Big 12 survived, which was about the best outcome they could have. I say all this to ask you about the ACC, which seems to be spending as much time in court these days as it is on the court.
Yeah, I mean, I think the home run for the ACC, the Hail Mary that I'm still not convinced is going to happen, but that they could really benefit from, is to get Notre Dame into the conference as a full-fledged member. What that would mean for restructuring, you know, the media rights agreement for the ACC, I'm sure it would be a boon on that front, and it might help calm the waters a little bit. But, you know, that's maybe the magic answer for the ACC, but that's been an answer that the ACC is been hoping for how long now, and still Notre Dame clings to its independence, and you know, this upcoming playoff format for however long it lasts, probably just 2 years, doesn't necessarily favor Notre Dame in that you have to be in a conference to get an automatic bid to get an automatic bid and to get a first round bye, meaning Notre Dame won't be eligible for that. But we've seen time and again that Notre Dame favors its independence above all else, and I don't really see that changing necessarily in this moment, just because, you know, the playoff rules now suddenly tilt away from them. Well, first of all, we don't even know how long this playoff is going to last, as we've been talking about. It could just be 2 years for this particular playoff format. So I don't know that there's enough to push Notre Dame into the ACC, but if the ACC is looking from some sort of, you know, gift from the heavens, if you will, it would be the Irish coming in as a full-fledged member, I think.
Blake, if I could get to the field for a second, because we're about to, we're not yet, we have March Madness, but we're not that far from spring ball. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about this, and Nick Saban shows up in Tuscaloosa over the weekend, and it seems like everywhere he goes, he sucks the air out of the Kalen DeBoer train, and I know how you feel about DeBoer, and I think we all agree it was a really good choice. But curious what you think about where he is right now. It's a little better than it was a month ago, but where is this train going?
Yeah, I would have felt a little bit more comfortable about Kalen DeBoer's first season if he would have been able to get Ryan Grubb, his offensive coordinator, on board for more than, what, about 12 hours or whatever it was. You know, I don't think that dooms the Kalen DeBoer era, but I do think it puts him a little bit, you know, more behind the eight ball here in year one, and so does the schedule. I mean, even when we thought Nick Saban was going to be the coach this year, we were already talking about how stiff this schedule looks like for Alabama. So I do think That the deck is a little bit stacked against Kalen DeBoer in his first season. What does that look like? I mean, I don't think that looks like a complete catastrophe by any means. There's still a lot of talent in Tuscaloosa, but I don't think that the roster is stacked in quite the way we're accustomed to. And I do think there could be some growing pains for a first-year coach in a new conference who now, you know, didn't have his trusted aide, Ryan Grubb, alongside him calling his offense. So, yeah, I think there could be year one growing pains, to be sure. You alluded to the Saban factor as well. I've kind of gone back and forth on this. Like, is it an advantage to have Nick Saban still having an office on campus, still being such a large presence? And the reality is, you know, Nick Saban was going to be a large presence whether or not he did keep an office on campus. There, you know, it's just you're not going to be able to completely put him out to pasture just because he retired. And I think it still can work. I think Nick Saban can be an asset for Kalen DeBoer. I think it's very, very tricky, though, and there's got to be a lot of respect on both sides. And at least by all appearances so far, I think the parties involved are trying to respect that, but still you can try to respect it as much as you want. And Nick Saban is going to be the guy in Alabama until Kalen DeBoer proves that he can be the guy. And again, I think when you look at the situation that Alabama faces in year one, it might be a little bit of a rocky start out of the gate for Kalen DeBoer. As you said, I still think he's the right guy. I think he's going to prove that. But folks in Alabama are maybe going to have to learn at least a small dose of patience, which I know is something that they were not accustomed to as long as Nick Saban was the coach.
Before you go, Blake, what's going on with the Tennessee NCAA case?
Yeah, not much at the moment. I mean, I think we're still kind of waiting on the court situation to play out because one does affect the other, right? I mean, we have this lawsuit that the states of Tennessee and Virginia have brought against the NCAA, and you know, it's separate but also connected to the investigation. The NCAA investigation of Tennessee on the NIL front. So until we get, you know, a court ruling, you know, in terms of the preliminary injunction on the lawsuit, I think that sort of kind of hits the freeze button on everything else. You know, the stakes are pretty clear. Tennessee wants the injunction. If they don't get the injunction in that lawsuit, they're going to go for obviously a victory in the overall case. And they could still get part two without getting part one. But if they get part one, if they get the injunction, that works in their favor. That works against the NCAA. And it would sort of kneecap the NCAA's investigation. If they don't get the injunction, that's a feather in the NCAA's cap. And I think it could embolden them to proceed forward with this.
Great stuff, Blake. Always appreciate your time. Blake Topmeyer, one of the absolute best out there from USA Today. He is not alone among our guests today. We will talk to the Brat coming up here in the next hour. Yes, Michael Bratton. Brandon Marcello as well. We've already put the lock on the gate for Bratton. That goes for you callers out there as well. You might want to skip that segment, especially Alabama fans.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back in as we continue here on a Friday afternoon. We started with Blake. A number of other guests will be joining us. Hugh starts it off on the phones from Deep Gap.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
I want to kind of change the frame of some of the discussions that we've had in the past few days and maybe deal with the big picture. I don't believe there is any way that the major forces in college athletics are going to be able to reconcile the differences with some 300 institutions that are much smaller, that have a strong voice in the policies of a regulating body. And here's what I'm driving at. Anybody that thinks we're going to get meaningful legislation to cure the problems that we're facing in setting up guidelines for how NIL and transfer portal and the management of money and pay for student athletes, and it's coming as sure as summer will be here, when Johnson v. NCAA is finally finished adjudicating through the courts, kids that play football and basketball at the major college level who have a lot of eyeballs attached to them via the TV screen and those contracts, they're going to get paid money, Paul. And the reality is most of the schools that have a voice, maybe a distant one, but a voice in the NCAA, are not going to be able to figure into that type of deal. So here's my thought. If the SEC and the Big Ten's commissioners would get together and kind of get a rough idea about what type of guidelines that most of the ADs and their conferences would like to see on the transfer portal and on name and image and likeness, and once they've kind of got a broad feeling about that, carry it to the commissioner of the ACC and the Big 12 with the idea of forming a power collective that would take over not just football, which they already have, but also the NCAA basketball tournament. Do it all. Let's face it, Paul. In those four conferences, if you took half of them, the top half, that would be 90% of the second week of the NCAA. And they can make the rules the way they want it, and then ask Congress for some dispensation about antitrust laws. But to ask Congress to draft that legislation, that's crazy as a box of rocks. Ain't going to happen. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I agree with you, Hugh. I think the real question is what do those two leagues want to do? I think there's a little more buy-in from maybe the Big 12 than the ACC. But ultimately, the real problem here is the NCAA, and you know that, Hugh.
This would put them out of business, well, Paul, if they didn't have the NCAA tournament.
Right. Well, hey, by the way, thanks for the call, Hugh. They ought to be out of business. You got a president of the NCAA who's a politician. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. You've got an enforcement division that is completely impotent. They have no shot at prosecuting anybody. I mean, they act like they do, and they have fancy meetings, and they all get together and talk a big game with their $3,000 words, but nobody cares what they have to say anymore. They are out of touch. And to Tennessee's credit, they're about to prove that in court. The NCAA is still living in a faraway universe. I mean, Charlie Baker, the head of the NCAA, proposing how much did he propose, everybody a couple hundred dollars? I mean, are you out of your mind? I mean, right now, SEC teams are losing players to other teams for around $1 million. Let's give everybody $100, some Girl Scout cookies, and some movie passes, and maybe a free rental at Blockbuster Video this weekend. I mean, that is the world that they live in, and I we all know these people, and I'm not saying they're not bad people. They're well-meaning people who remind me a lot of government employees. And my mother worked for the government. She earned a very paltry living, working for the IRS. But she also got every holiday off, guaranteed health insurance, and that's the NCAA. They're not ever going to work too hard. Okay, let's talk to John in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, you're aging yourself. Blockbuster, seriously?
Well, I was trying. My point was they live in the Blockbuster video world.
I know. I'm going to nominate Hugh for the next NCAA president. I think he can get some stuff done.
Yeah, but you know what, John? I'm not really too concerned about anybody other than my league. Are you?
No. In fact, what I get from Blake is the CFP is headed for more money and more games, particularly for the Big Two. That's right?
And by the way, you've been around a while.
Yep.
Why is Sweden joining NATO? Because they they want the protection of the big dogs in NATO, just like everybody else.
Absolutely. Hey, Paul, if you've got a minute, yesterday you mentioned the 79th anniversary of the flag racing Iwo Jima, and I have a very interesting story I'll do in 60 seconds.
Go.
Like yourself, I'm a history buff, particularly with military history. So I had a neighbor who was an Iwo Jima survivor. He landed on Iwo Jima, the first wave. He signed to the engineering department, and this mission was to clear the bases and pass for the troops and equipment. He stayed there some 5 weeks, and when he left, he only had about one-third of his unit still living. But he said he spent all night awake because the ships would shoot up flares to keep the enemy from coming out of the foxholes. And during the day, it was snipers and mortars. But he was asked by a local college to share his experience. This is about 10 years ago. And the night before, he couldn't sleep, and then he canceled it the next day because of the memories. And I'll circle back to that real quick. So, you know, Iwo Jima was an island about halfway between the U.S. airfields and Japan, and the long-range bomber supplies some 3,000 miles, and they needed a halfway point for emergency landings and also for the fighters that were short range. So they bombed the island for 30 straight days. They thought they could take it in 1 week. Instead, 7,000 Marines and some 20,000 enemy were killed. But on the fourth day, the Marines planted a U.S. flag on top of Mount Suribachi. Later in the day, they sent up a larger flag, and that's where Joe Rosenthal happened to turn around and shoot the epic picture. After the picture became famous, the Marines tried to round up the flag raisers for a bond drive, but three were dead and three were still living. Rene Gagnon, who had carried up the replacement flag, identified himself and two others, a medic named Joe Bradley and Navajo Indian named Ira Hayes. Ira Hayes later identified a dead Marine for another dead Marine, so the six changed again. Now it got further confused when Clint Eastwood's movie Flag of Our Fathers, it was made about the six flag raisers, and I think it was 2006, and as the costume department put together the uniforms, they realized Joe Bradley, the medic, was not one of the flag raisers because he didn't have the medic packs on. And so they went back to the pictures and the gun hole picture of all of them together, and they replaced Joe Bradley with a dead Marine who's in the back of the group, and they moved in a surviving Marine. And then after further forensic review, they replaced Rene Gagnon with another surviving Marine. So I asked our neighbor, I said, how come the two surviving Marines did not step forward? And he said, well, many just wanted to forget the horrible experience. And I think like your father, a lot of citizen soldiers just wanted to come home and get on with life. But I thought that was interesting.
I'm glad you said that, John. I think and there's no way I could relate to it, and I know you couldn't either, other than your friends. But nowadays, everybody wants to, sell their story. But I mean, that's why these people were truly great American heroes. That they did their job, and then they went home to the country that they had protected. Let's take a short break. Maybe not that short, but 60 seconds or less. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. As we roll on here, let's get some calls in. And you ready for this, Randy?
Yes.
Bash is next.
Bash, brother Paul. Code breaker, line crosser. Happy Friday. Randy, glad that you're in the studio.
Randy.
Let me clarify that, Paul. I never said Randy went to Alabama. By the way,
Bash Brother, I never said you said he went to Alabama.
Yeah, you said those exact words.
All you insinuated was that Randy was a Bama fan. He's not.
That was an insinuation.
He's not a Bama fan, Bash, and you tried to co-op him as a Bama fan to enrich your cred on this show, and for that we called you out.
That is not even true, Paul. I said Roll Tide to Randy after you two said it to each other when Nick Saban retired, and we had all these callers coming on the show depressed.
Hold on a second, Bash. Can we get John back to retell the story of Iwo Jima?
Iwo Jima? What? Are you talking about John from St. Louis? Look, let me ask you a question, Paul. The same question that you asked John yesterday when he accused you of paying callers, what evidence do you have that I'm a phony Bama fan?
By the way, I want to mention that for a second. There's an article right now, Bash, in Athlon Sports. And the headline, and we usually don't do this, but I'm going to. The headline is, Feinbaum bluntly responds to accusations of fake callers on his show. This organization did a story based on John's call yesterday from St. Louis.
That is the ultimate definition of desperation by that media outlet.
There's another media outlet. Let me see which one this is. Hold on. I just got this one. Oh, yeah, BVM Sports. Whatever. The headline, the
Birmingham
article,
Vitamins.
Paul Feinbaum denies accusations of fake callers on the Paul Feinbaum show amid under the table claims.
It sounds like these are the
John
questionable
has
people
created
that
the modern day version of Watergate, right out of his era of Richard E. Nixon.
That is quite astounding. He has literally created his own universe of Richard E. Nixon, and we're all living in it.
Has there been a special prosecutor named?
There should be.
Is it not Randy?
Bash has been named the special prosecutor.
I will.
Hey, by the way, Bash, what are you studying at Colorado? Other than smoking weed and calling the Feinbaum show.
I am a student in the School of CMCI, majoring in journalism and minoring in sports media.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to go into this profession? I'm scared to death.
I didn't want to tell you that, Paul, because I didn't want to be some clout-chasing college kid that just wanted to get on the show just to, I don't know. I haven't done anything yet that has even
so
more,
I'll sound
like
a guidance counselor, Bash, instead of your dad. What ultimately would you like to be doing?
writing. I want to cover sports. I just want to be involved in sports just in some way, shape, or form. I'm in a point in my life where I'm going back to school in a late stage in my 20s. I was in the healthcare field for the most part, especially during the pandemic, and I got burnt out through it, and throughout that time, I needed some things to, you know, let my mind kind of not be so stressed out. And honestly, Paul, if it wasn't for this show throughout those hectic years, I don't even know if I'd be standing talking to you right now.
We appreciate it. By the way, the pandemic, which started 4 years ago, did a lot of damage to a lot of people. I'm glad you got through it, Bash.
Thank you, Paul. I definitely can 100% say this. I would not have been able to get through it if this show wasn't on 5 days a week, 4 hours a day, every single day. You are the most consistent talk show host that has ever existed, and it is an honor, just like Iman said yesterday. And I don't agree with Iman on literally anything, but when he came back on the show yesterday with the brand new haircut, hair look, looking spiffy, he came back on and he said pretty much exactly how I feel. I am privileged and blessed, Paul. Well, that we're Montgomery guys. We got to get along every now and then. I guarantee you, I've met him. He just doesn't remember me.
Well, he probably changed your parents' Freon one time.
Let me be clear as this: if I saw this man in my house fixing my AC, I would literally be like, Jordan Peele, get out.
I would too, Bash.
I'd be like, who said? I'd be like, us, the Bammers.
I mean, seriously, when a guy comes to fix your heating and air conditioning, assuming it's broken, do you really care what he looks like? Come on in. What took you so long?
You know what? I will admit, when you're living in the South and your AC has been broken for a few days, you don't care if it's a octopus that walks through the door. You just fix the AC, whatever it takes.
I would let anyone in but Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Absolutely. Anyone on God's green earth except Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Well, Bash, it's great to hear from you. I learned a lot from Bash right there. And we really, and by the way, during the pandemic, which I do not want to really think about much, the show was incredibly important to a lot of people, but mostly important to us because it gave us something to do. It gave us a job at a time when jobs were being eliminated, and it was a very difficult time for everyone. Trey is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I ain't talked to you all week, and it's because of my NIL check. I hadn't received it in the mail lately, but Randy just assured me they're in the mail, and everybody's going to be okay. And I promised him I wouldn't enter in the transfer portal, and then I told him I couldn't because there wasn't another show like yours to call in and talk to. So my NIL check's in the mail, and I sure appreciate
it. Listen, I am going to see what I can do, and I kind of see where this is going, right? I think we're about to get to that point where we are going to start paying callers, and that means one thing. You better perform, or we don't pay you. So
I agree, Paul. But, hey, Paul. AT&T service failed everyone
yesterday.
Yeah,
what about that yesterday?
Well, my question is that the reason they call Cowboys Stadium AT&T Stadium because they keep failing everyone?
I was pretty pleased yesterday. I wasn't an AT&T subscriber, but it's all fixed today.
Yes, sir. On a more serious note, Paul, what is your true feelings of what happened with Eli? And because, you know, I think they could have let Eli go one more year and have a farewell tour. I think he deserved it. And I just think it's really heartbreaking.
Well, Trey, I'll give you my best judgment. And I'm friends with people on both sides.
First?
But I was told by someone that there was a line crossed. I don't know what line that was that made it impossible for the relationship to continue.
Well, you know, Paul, I know we all cross lines at times. I think one of the things, and it's going on in this country right now, Paul, there's just no loyalty to anybody or work or anything anymore. The definition of the word loyalty has completely just left this country. And it's about anything that we do. And it's a sad state. But, Paul, I hope you have a great weekend. It's 75 degrees down here and sunshining, and I'm enjoying it. Take care of yourself.
That is great news. I wish it was 75 where we are. It was not 75 today. No. Felt like winter. And we are heading to the break, and we hope you'll stick around.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Michael Bratton coming up here in just a minute. We haven't talked to Brat in a while. Let's check in with Elliot in Ohio.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to call about Hugh's comments and just say, look, it's going to be the two. It's going to be Big Ten, SEC. But really more what I wanted to talk about is these accusations of callers being paid. And I think John's right. But, Paul, I think it's just like Michigan. There's a secret booster. And I'm going to give you a hint to see if you can guess who I think that secret booster is. They go by the logo, the greatest show in the world. Can you guess who I think that secret booster is?
Who's that? Anybody know?
Barnum and Bailey, brother. You got more clowns in a clown car. It's great. It's a circus on your show. That's who's paying everybody. You would never get your hands dirty. You'd use an Uncle T, just like Michigan.
Once again, Elliot, you bring it. I mean,
I'm always here to bring
it,
Paul.
I mean, that's the end of the conversation.
Tie it all together, Big Ten, SEC, everything. It's all going to be tied together.
I kind of liked it better when we hated the Big Ten. I don't know about you people, but I'm not sure I feel good about being friends with Elliot. Joining hands with Elliot.
Paul, you know my website. You know my website, don't you? The SECisOverrated.com. You know that one?
Yeah. I mean, what's it called?
The SECisOverrated.com.
Oh, wow. Have you ever been to that website? Has anybody ever been? Has anyone ever been?
Let's drive some traffic, Paul. Let's drive some traffic.
Okay, don't go anywhere. I want to check this out, see if my computer gets it, because we have a lot of restrictions on the ESPN computer. The SEC is overrated. Okay, I'm there now. There is a picture of there's a picture of a clown on the front page.
Oh, no, there's not. There's an open letter to the SEC in there,
Paul.
There's
no such thing. The overrated. I guess I need to learn how to spell it right. The SEC is overrated. I can't even get that on.
It's just like Ohio State, Paul. It starts with B. SEC.
SEC loaded computer will not get that website. I've got a picture of on my website. I've got a picture of Nick Saban holding up 7 national championship trophies. Logan is up next.
Good Friday, Paul and Randy. How are you guys doing? Hey, if you're paying callers, man, I got to let you know you got one cheating on you. My friend texted me, said there's been a gym sighting on the local show here, and all he was doing was complaining about how he was treated on the Paul Feinbaum show.
So let me see if I understand this correctly. Jim from Tuscaloosa, who quit this show, is calling in. What market is this now?
I think it's Tuscaloosa.
So he's calling in a Tuscaloosa radio show to complain about how he was mistreated here.
Yeah, it's the same show that Bama Nick calls now, I think. It's kind of like the graveyard for quitters of the Feinbaum show.
Wow. Can you imagine moniker being, hey, welcome to the show in the afternoon here. We're where dead Feinbaum callers go to die.
He said that Jim was the first caller today, too, so you take that for what it's worth. I don't know. Maybe he did quit the show.
I am really glad. By the way, you used the word cheating. That's a strong word for...
Sorry, man. I don't think you pay your callers.
A strong word for a guy that has been defrocked. I mean, Jim didn't just quit this show, Logan.
Yep.
He got into a battle with JB, Johnny B. Good.
Johnny B. G.
And got taken behind the woodshed, undressed. What else happened? I mean, you go behind that barn. He can go behind just your regular. It was a country boy, kicking.
Yeah, he got destroyed. I was watching live.
He was down to one tooth at the end.
Yeah, he.
It wasn't his.
He couldn't open power.
No, it was. I mean, listen, we have fun with caller feuds. We're not about violence here. This was violent.
This
was
violent.
Considered the biggest beatdown in the history of the show.
Yeah, it was. It was a fantastic caller feud, man. And Jim, as usual, just quit, hung up in the middle of the call. So
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other things I would say, but I can't say them because I work for a family company.
Right. Well, have you seen our favorite Alabama Senator Tarbaville, what he said this morning?
I did catch some of that on some network.
Yeah, he's totally oblivious about that new ruling. He had no idea what was going on.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.